Hello and welcome to Ex-Tumblr Girls, a podcast hosted by two ex-Tumblr girls turned modern Tumblr women who love a fictional girl boss. I'm your host, Tori.
I'm your host, Carly.
Let's talk about Tumblr. Guys, Carly and I had such an exciting weekend. We got to see each other in person.
I know. We used to see each other like every couple weeks, maybe more months when we were younger. Since we lived a little farther apart, we didn't go to school together. And then there were moments, you know, when we got older where we were seeing each other like every weekend.
Yeah, once we got cars, we were together as much as possible. And then when COVID happened, we were together a lot, despite being 6 to 10 feet apart from each other.
Yeah. Thank God that it was summer, because otherwise it would have sucked. But now that we live like 6 hours apart, we don't see each other nearly as much as we would like to. But we had a very exciting night.
Yeah, it was St. Patty's Day. So naturally, we ordered takeout, drank wine, watched The Hunger Games, made edits for Tumblr, and ended the night by playing Scrabble with my parents.
It was honestly a great time. I would have had a terrible time if we went out.
I would have
spent more money. I wouldn't have changed a thing.
We would have been going out in my hometown, so inevitably we would have seen people I knew, which I hate doing.
Yeah. I think that Tumblr edits and Scrabble was just, it was perfect for us.
It was. We, like, are back in making Tumblr content era because we're doing what would make our 15-year-old selves happy, because when Carly and I were teenagers, our, like, main hangout activity was to sit side by side on our laptops and add things to our queue.
Yeah. And I know we both dabbled in edit making, but now we have better taste and probably better editing capabilities. I mean, I know I at least do. And I'm definitely going to be continuing to make some. I'm definitely going to be making more edits now that I've overcome the hurdle of posting my first one as a Tumblr woman. It's gotten like 4 notes, but that's okay.
I'm going to continue combining very emotional poems with shows that are mostly watched by 17-year-olds. My post that I made has almost 30 notes.
Wow.
I know.
Mary Oliver gets notes.
Mary Oliver gets notes. So does the most popular ship of the moment. I won't say what it is because I don't want any of you to figure out what blog is mine.
Yeah, same reason why I'm not going to say.
But if you guys listen very carefully to every episode, you will probably eventually figure out which blog is mine, because I have a few really niche interests.
Somebody out there is going to do their digging, but we hope that whoever that person is kind enough to keep it to themselves, because we're not ready to share our Tumblr with the world.
Somebody who listens at some point is going to have to be someone that we're already mutuals with.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind that one of these days I am going to get a message on Tumblr that it's like, hey, bestie, I have followed you for the last 8 years. I love your podcast. That's what I'm manifesting.
I think there's a pretty good shot that'll happen soon.
Because we have been getting exciting DMs. We won't say just yet, but we have some really cool project potential in the works with one of our amazing international listeners.
I'm so excited. It's going to be hard to keep it under wraps for the next couple months.
I know, but it'll be so cool when it's done.
Yes.
Carly, do you have a read, watch, listen this week?
I don't think I watched really much of anything. I did read, which is not really the usual for me as a college student. It's called The Annabelle by Lisa Tadeo. It's very good, very poetic. It's definitely like exactly what I was looking for, which was a book that was like easy to read, but also one that, you know, had really beautiful prose. That's kind of one of the main things I look for in a book. So that would be my read for the week. Say my listen. I listened to a lot of Samia's new album called Honey. Yes. Love her. Hopefully we'll get to see her in concert someday when my life is less hectic. But it just came out like I think a month ago. It's really good.
So many tours to come.
What about you?
I have not been watching anything new this week. I watched I admit it. I rewatched Daisy Jones and the Six.
Well, how are the new episodes? Didn't some new episodes come out?
Oh my God. Yes. After Carly left my house on Friday, it was like midnight, and I realized that 3 new episodes had been uploaded. So I stayed up till 2 in the morning watching them.
Oh my God.
And they were so good. I'm really, really obsessed with this cast. So that's the only thing I watched this week. I'm also, my mom and I are watching the Oscar Best Picture nominees, but we're on Everything Everywhere right now. So I guess if you haven't seen that movie, you absolutely must.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's left that hasn't seen it.
I know. Just my mom.
Oh, just your mom.
And she's a little bit confused by it. But I think once we hit the like emotional mother-daughter scenes, she's going to come out liking it.
Yeah. That'll usually get the moms.
Yeah. I don't have a new read this week. I haven't read anything except Daisy Jones fan fiction all week. So
That counts.
I didn't read any good ones is the problem. There's not
that sucks.
There's not any like long ones. They're all short reader insert and they're not very great. So reader sorry insert. To all the Daisy Jones reader insert writers out there, but I'm a little less than impressed.
You're just gonna have to fill in the gaps.
It's just there's so many fandoms I'm part of that write such like novel level fan fiction that when I read something that's just like a quick one shot that's like only a few hundred words and like meant to just be like sweet and silly, I'm like, I'm bored. I need a plot. Yeah. I need new character devices. I need intrigue. I need prose.
It's really hard going from a fandom that has like upwards of 50,000 fics on AO3 to one that has like maybe 5 good ones.
Yeah.
And you have to comb through a lot of shit to get to them.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know.
We know the struggle.
Yeah.
But I have been seeing on the Hunger Games Tumblr, which is fully back to life. And let me say, I am so excited. I've been seeing that there is 3 full novel length fan fictions that are the games from PETA's perspective. So I think I need to get on top of that and get myself to start reading those because I've heard nothing but good things.
I'm sure they're really good.
If you dedicate to rewriting a whole fucking book series from a different perspective, like you've got enough dedication that it has to be talent.
Yeah, that's so true.
Like, I certainly do not possess that amount of dedication.
Well, that's what fanfic writers are here for.
It's so true. My listen. Oh my God, what have I been listening to all week? Hello? Oh, I know what I've been listening to. My listen of the week. I was very inspired by last week's episode. I've only been listening to Niall Horan all week.
Is he good? I don't think I've listened to maybe a single song he's put
so
out.
He's so good. And he's putting out a new album in June. And I already know that when he announces a tour for this album, I will be there. I will be there. Because all the Harry girls, they can have their love on tour. They can have their 10 nights at MSG. I will be there screaming and clawing for Niall Horan because my past has caught up with me.
I'm sure that the tickets are going to be less expensive too.
Exactly. It's almost somehow, despite the fact that he's like literally Niall fucking Horan, because he's less famous than Harry, it's almost like discovering a secret.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that most, like, ex-directioners are really listening to him. Like, they are listening to Harry.
He has 27 million monthly Spotify listeners.
Damn.
So, Mans has a fan base, and count me into it. And that's my media consumption for the week.
Love.
Would you like to introduce our topic for today?
I'm so excited. So when we were together, we tossed around a few ideas and we thought, let's do a game. Let's do something fun. And
something
we're
silly.
Doing something silly. And we decided on a fictional Tumblr girl boss fight bracket.
Yes, we did. Carly and I are feminists, of course, so we are not in the business of pitting women against each other. But none of these women are real, and all of them are girl bosses. So it is only right that we decide who would win in a fight.
Yes.
We had so much fun doing a silly episode last week that we both had, like, busy weekends. And we didn't have time to do, like, intellectual research on the Tumblr era, as we so love to do. So we were like, let's just do something fun. Let's decide who amongst our favorite fictional girl bosses could beat the shit out of the other one.
Yeah. And do we have any ground rules? Like, what universe is this taking place in? Do they have their powers? I feel like they've got to have their powers in at least one weapon, right?
Well, let's... Yeah. Only a couple of them have, like, superhuman powers. Most of them are just, like, badass, like, human women with a cause.
Yeah. Okay, then. We'll take it as it comes.
Yeah. Imagine a universe where all of these timelines are happening at the same time in the same world, and they're confronted with an issue of who is gonna fight who. And we are the arbiters of the decision.
All right, are you ready to get started?
I'm so ready to get started.
Who do we have up first?
Our first fight is between Elle Woods from Legally Blonde and Raven Reyes from The 100.
So for those that never watched The 100, which I'm surprised if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't, because... It was quite
the Tumblr staple.
It was. She was a mechanic who got sent down to Earth she went down to Earth afterwards for her boyfriend, but that's besides the point.
She was an astronaut.
They're no longer together. Yes. So badass quality number one. Astronaut, mechanic. And then what other badass things did she do besides just be herself?
She fought for her fucking life down on Earth because her boyfriend was a piece of shit.
Fuck Finn.
Honestly, behind every great woman is a shit-ass boyfriend. Yeah. Every fictional woman. We love Carly's boyfriend here on the podcast.
The only one we like.
But she literally fought for not only her own life, but for everyone's life. And then was injured and built herself a brace to keep on going and avoided death several times by her own volition.
I didn't watch the show past season 3, so I don't know much about
God,
what happened after that.
Because it got so horrible. The ending was, like, probably the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
I did watch, like, a compilation of different scenes that just... are just enough to tell the story of what happened. And I don't really believe it. Like, it kind of seemed like
it was ridiculous. I actually couldn't follow it. But Raven remained a badass nonetheless.
Okay. So, Elle Woods.
Famously known for Legally Blonde. Duh. You know? What, like, it's hard?
Yeah.
Elle Woods is... just a badass of the mind.
Yes.
I can't really imagine her getting into a physical altercation, but she can study the shit out of the LSATs.
Yes. So if this would this fight be would she be able to use any of her, like, lawyer abilities?
I think Elle's weapon here would be her weird little dog and, like, a firm law book.
And then, well, Raven's would just be, did she have ever have a gun?
Raven always had a gun.
She did? Okay. I obviously don't remember The Hundred well enough.
Elle Woods versus a gun.
Well, I think Raven would win this fight.
Yeah, just unfortunately, Elle didn't really stand much of a chance.
Yeah, she didn't grow up in a post-apocalyptic universe, so...
No, and look, these are both women who initially were chasing after their mans and then found strength in themselves. So if this was a battle of the minds, it would be a very interesting debate because Elle is a very intelligent lawyer and Raven is essentially an astrophysicist.
Yeah.
And I think they're both capable women, but Raven would absolutely deck Elle Woods.
So true.
Okay, so let's mark Raven. The next duo in our bracket is Katara from Avatar The Last Airbender and Emily from Revenge.
So I don't know how many of our listeners watched Revenge, which was, I think, either on the CW or ABC or some random network like that. It was quite the show.
It was chaotic. It
was chaotic. It was good. And I will say, it was good up until the end. The last season got a little bit out there.
Yeah, I didn't love the ending.
But it was not a show that went downhill as fast as maybe Teen Wolf or The Hundred did.
Mm-hmm. And but she maintained her girl boss status throughout this show.
She worked hard. The basic premise of the show is this woman who's... She lost her father at the hands of this rich family who she then wanted to get revenge over by taking people down in the family and people connected to them, and this event where she lost her father, which I think was like a plane crash or something.
Yeah, I don't remember. But
it wasn't important.
She's taking people down in like legal ways. So like crashing banks and like robbing people of their fortunes.
I don't think that's legal.
No. I mean in like ruining their life in the legal sense, not ethically. Yeah. Nothing she did was ethical.
No.
Certainly not.
No. She committed many crimes, including identity theft.
Yeah. Well, is it identity theft if it's consensual?
Was it consensual? You guys just have to watch the show because
it's
you
on
have
Hulu.
To witness.
It's on Hulu.
Is it on Hulu now?
Yeah, I think so.
Rip. We watched it when it was on Netflix.
The good old days.
It was quite the adventure. We loved that show.
Emily was like, she was conniving. She was clever. She was also trained in hand-to-hand combat.
Oh, right. She definitely killed at least one person that way.
I don't remember, but certainly. I'd have to guess. Yeah.
I forgot that she had, like, a sensei, basically.
And then he came on the show. It was ridiculous. All I remember vividly from that show is Daniel looking at her and going, "You think I'm a bad person?"
All I remember is, I bet that orange juice had pulp in it.
One of our best orange. Inside jokes.
Yeah. Everybody go watch it. That's the moral of the story.
And her opponent, I think, is much more well-known, Katara.
Yeah.
Who is one of our few characters with superhuman abilities because she's a waterbender. Now,
it does give her a leg up in this fight.
And it poses an interesting fight because Emily lives by the beach.
Interesting. Her weakness, the beach.
Yes, so... How do we think this fight would go down? Emily is very skilled in combat. She's very slippery. I feel she can get out of any situation.
Slippery.
But Katara did help Aang save the world from the Fire Nation.
Would Katara want to fight, though? Because she was a good person. Emily is not a good person.
You're right. Emily is far more ruthless than Katara. But I do think that Katara fights when she has to. So Katara is kind of like rebel with a cause. Like, she has to have a motivation. But do you remember when she bloodbended? Like, that shit was fucked up. Oh my god,
I do remember that.
And I think if Emily put one of the gang at stake, like, can you imagine if Emily was going to, like, try to take down Aang somehow? Like, Katara would bloodbend the shit out of her.
This is so true. I think Katara would win this fight.
Yeah, I think Emily is suited for the political downtakings, but Katara can, like, literally change the world.
So right.
And that's what being a girl boss is all about.
Yes, it is. So she would win this fight.
Yeah, I do believe Katara is being advanced. And also, I think if we have two characters who are super dissimilar, maybe it's just a battle of who's a bigger girl boss. But so
that's a good idea.
Only if they're too dissimilar. I like the idea of who wins in a fight.
Yeah.
I think it's silly.
You know, I can't imagine Katara and Emily fighting. Even if it would never happen, I can't imagine it.
Carly, would you like to announce our next pair?
Yes. We have Allison Argent from the hit show Teen Wolf and Ellie Williams from The Last of Us franchise.
Now, this is a pair who are accurately suited to fight.
Yeah, they both do fight.
Yeah, and they do. And they kill.
Yes. They have both killed many people. I don't remember how many people Allison killed.
I know she killed, like, supernatural beings, but I don't know that she
ever killed them, or did she just, like, torture them?
No, the Nagitsune don't really count as, like, people that she killed. She killed, like, pieces of a spirit. Like,
still badass.
And spoiler alert, when faced with the option, she would not kill Void Styles, which was a moment of girl boss weakness for her.
It was. Even when he was possessed by an evil Japanese spirit.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to take down the void.
Yeah.
Ellie,
on the other hand.
Ellie wouldn't hesitate.
No. Especially, I know you never played the games. I did play the games. And Ellie was fucking ruthless and took down at least 100 people in game two.
Including infected? Or just other people?
I would say that's probably the amount of people.
Woo!
Yeah. Those combat sections are tough.
So, I do think... I think they're a good match because Allison does have a weapon of choice.
Yes.
Ellie, I suppose, does as well, which is a gun.
She has... The amount of weapons that you have in part two are several guns. You also get a bow and arrow.
Oh.
You also get a knife. You get nail bombs, Molotov cocktails. You have quite the arsenal.
At one point in Teen Wolf, I feel like Allison gets a gun. Because there's all the guns in the Argent house. Like, that's a thing
for
them.
She's got to at least know how to use a gun.
Yeah, so... Ooh, this is a...
If Ellie gets all the weapons that she has at part two, I'm sure that Allison could have all the weapons that her family has, being, like, arms dealers in California. I would vote for Ellie just because she does live in a post-apocalyptic universe.
Yeah.
And doesn't have... I mean, okay... I got to stop myself while I'm ahead so that I don't spoil anything.
I think
she is fucking ruthless.
I think Allison fights much like Katara when needed. I don't think Allison is like a violence for violence sake kind of person. Not that I'm saying that Ellie is, but I think Ellie has a shorter fuse. And Allison is almost always functioning as part of a pack. And we have seen what happens when Ellie is left alone.
Violence.
Violence. So I think we're going to send Ellie on to the next round of the girl boss fight bracket.
Yes. So who do we have up next?
Next. Next, Carly, we have a pair that could not be more unimaginably different. We have Hermione Granger from Harry Potter and Love, Quinn from the Netflix series You.
One of these does have superpowers.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, obviously, Hermione is the best witch of her generation.
Yes. She's very smart.
But Love, Quinn's a fucking psycho.
Yeah. I think maybe who would win this fight is dependent on who would be able to trick. Like, could Love trick Hermione? I think yes. Could Hermione trick Love? Probably. If she were to know that she had to be tricked. If you know what I mean.
No, Hermione is a skilled fighter. Now, has Hermione killed anyone?
She's definitely never used the unforgivable curses. Mm-hmm. She may have killed Death Eaters, but I feel like it was always kind of like stunning them.
Yeah.
Because maybe she was too good to kill them.
I know. I never thought about this, that Hermione maybe never actually killed anyone, even in the Great War.
Yeah. But in this fight bracket, is it fighting to the death? Because
no, I was just
Love
thinking.
Quinn definitely Love Quinn could not stop until she was dead. That's for sure.
Honestly,
Love Quinn is incapable of just, you know, dealing with problems without murder.
Love Quinn cannot just win a fight. She also has to take the other person out of this life.
Yeah.
But to that end, if Hermione were fighting Love, Love is not going to give up until she dies or kills. So
yeah.
Hermione would have to make the decision of whether she can kill Love or not.
I don't think she would kill a human or a muggle. I don't know if they're not considered humans, but besides the point.
That's some discourse the Harry Potter fandom has been having for 20 years.
I'm not brushed up on my Harry Potter lore, and that's probably a good thing.
Yes. This is a really odd pair to be put in a fight.
I want to say Love, because if you were to tell Love you need to defeat this person, she would do it. Like,
and she won't feel
no qualms about it. No.
Right. No. It's like,
she'd be able to move on to the next bracket easily.
Like, Hermione has ethics and morals and values, and Love has passion.
That's a good word for it.
She has passion and no boundaries whatsoever.
Yeah, I would say that Love Quinn wins this fight.
Wow. R.I.P. Hermione, because Love's definitely gonna fucking kill her.
Yeah.
Who's our next pair?
Next up, we have Amy Dunn from the book Gone Girl and movie, if you hadn't read the book, and Mulan. Two
from Disney's
really
Mulan.
Different people. And history.
Okay. Now, this is really interesting, because Mulan is, like, I would say the genuine definition of a girl boss. She stands up to societal oppression. She fights for what she believes in. She protects those she loves.
Yeah.
Amy Dunn is a girl boss in the sense that she is fucking nuts and will do whatever it takes to be the center of attention, even if it means killing herself.
And respect. That's all I have to say to that.
And to that, I would say that is the modern girl boss.
Yeah. I would say, especially on Tumblr, Amy Dunn is revered as a girl boss. And I am an Amy Dunn apologist through and through. Uh-huh. I want to say, what, I don't even remember the guy that Ben Affleck plays his name.
Nick.
Fuck Nick.
And to be honest, even if Nick didn't deserve it, yes, he did.
Yeah. Like...
we had a brief intermission. And we realized we might have made a mistake. And not all of these girl bosses are actually suited to physical altercations. And as such, we want to make it a fair game. So even though for the past 4 rounds, we have decided who would kick ass in a fight, like a physical fight, we think we're going to compare who's the bigger girl boss, which for each of the 4 that we've gone through, I would still choose the people that we chose as the bigger girl boss for basically the same reasons.
Yeah.
Like Raven Reyes, bigger girl boss, like literally save the world. Katara, bigger girl boss, save the world.
Save the world.
Ellie, bigger girl boss, save the world. Well, but yeah. And then Love, Quinn, psycho, will not let anyone stand in her way. Like, those are all girl boss tendencies that would also just happen to help them win a fight.
So true. So true. But from here on out, it'll be less a question of who could physically take down the other, since they're definitely not all evenly matched. Some of them do have superpowers.
I will say, the ones that are not even known for their physical badassery are typically chaotic enough that I think they might still hold weight in a fight.
Yeah, so true.
But we're just going to compare the level of girl bossing. And you know what? We all make mistakes. And it is nothing if not a girl boss's way to know when she could correct course.
So true.
And that's why Carly and I have won the girl boss fight bracket. Everybody have a great night. Thanks for listening.
But real talk, Amy Dunn versus Mulan. Now, if we reframe this to think, who is the bigger girl boss?
And yet, all the previous reasons that Mulan is a girl boss for her abilities to fight, Amy is a girl boss in such a way that she would fight. She does fight.
Yeah.
But which one makes them a bigger girl boss? And it's almost at this point, which kind of girl boss do we prefer? Do we prefer a girl boss with morals or a girl boss who's insane and inspires us?
Inspires us. I think that might be the wrong choice of words to use for
no,
Amy
I think
Dunn.
Amy Dunn inspires me.
You know what inspires me about Amy Dunn? The one speech. The cool girl speech.
The cool girl speech. I performed the cool girl speech as an audition monologue for a play in high school.
That speech might give her the title of the bigger girl boss.
I know.
Even though Mulan is very iconic, I think, I don't know, my heart is drifting towards Amy.
My heart is always with Amy Dunn, even though Mulan defeated the Huns and saved all of China. Amy Dunn woke up something primal and female rage inside of me that said, I too hope one day a man does me wrong enough that I can ruin his life by killing myself. And then deciding that that wasn't enough and ruining his life again.
Yeah. She was a girl boss for that, for sure.
And Amy Dunn, I doth believe, is the bigger girl boss of this pair.
Yes.
So sorry, Mulan, forever in our hearts, as the original little girl inspiring girl boss.
Yeah.
So but true. Amy Dunn inspires women. Who next?
Okay, next up, we have Sharpay Evans from, of course, the High School Musical trilogy. And it's kind of fun to say High School Musical trilogy.
It's so true. And
we have Peggy Carter from the Marvel Universe. Peggy Carter, I think she was originally in Captain America, the Winter Soldier, or no, Captain America, First Avenger. But I watched her in Agent Carter, which was a great show.
Yes. I was so happy she had her own spinoff because she's a girl boss. Like, she is a legitimately cool character that is smart, but also able to actually fight her way through. but has like very meaningful relationships with other women. And that I love about her.
She also doesn't take shit from men.
Absolutely not.
Is another girl boss quality.
Yeah, like maybe her ex-boyfriend is Captain Frickin' America, but she's Peggy Frickin' Carter.
Yeah, and I think maybe Captain America or Steve Rogers was mentioned maybe once or twice in the show. Like, that was her show. And I love that they gave her that and they didn't really make it about her relationship with Steve.
No, I did love that. And even if this were a fight, these are two women who could fight, because let's be real, Sharpay Evans is a fighter that I think does not get given enough credit for her own true motivations. I don't think she was just jealous of Gabriella. She had worked hard to get where she was on the social ladder in the hierarchy of high school theater. And then Gabriella thought she could just move here from wherever the fuck and take her lead in the musical, even though she didn't want it.
Yeah, that was really ridiculous. I'm on Sharpay's side for that.
I am on Sharpay's side. And I think her perseverance was very girl boss of her. She was going to bop her way to the top, even if someone tried to stop her. She was a girl boss in High School Musical 2. Her family employed all of the other characters, and yet they still ragged on Sharpay.
Yeah. And her dog was cute. Her dog would be her sidekick if this were a physical fight.
And honestly, I think if we were going to put singing talent into the category of girl boss, Sharpay is up there.
Yeah. We never
heard
Peggy sing.
Her songs were the good ones.
They were.
Fabulous. That song still goes hard. And she had an aesthetic, okay? Everyone else at that school was boring. She had a look. Peggy Carter had a look, too, though.
Yeah.
Peggy had a nice 40s. She had a victory curl.
Yeah. I love Peggy. I want to say that Peggy is the bigger girl boss because she did respect women maybe more than Sharpay did. And that is an essential quality to a girl boss.
I do think Sharpay probably would have been a girl's girl if anyone gave her a chance. But everyone That's was so true. Scared by her girl bossery.
Yeah. I haven't brushed up on my High School Musical knowledge either. I haven't watched those movies in a while.
I'm not disagreeing with you, though. I do think Peggy Carter is the bigger girl boss in this situation. I think everything she did on her show, despite the fact that I don't remember majority of the plot points, it was all girl boss material. And yeah. I would just like to see her progress to the next round.
I also would. I would say Peggy wins this round.
Okay. We haven't disagreed about any of the girl bosses yet.
No, I don't think so. And it's going to get harder, though.
Yeah. Well, all the women who have progressed to the second round are, like, strong girl bosses. Okay. Our next round. We had to think of a lot of people for this. And we kind of got slim on our Tumblr pickings. So this round, we have Tumblr royalty in terms of girl bossing, and that would be Katniss Everdeen. And then we have Offred from The Handmaid's Tale, who I will be referring to as June because that's her name in the show, but I actually can't remember if in the book they ever gave her her own name outside of her handmaid name, but it feels wrong to call her Offred.
I don't remember from the book. But I also think it's wrong because I know that wasn't her given name.
And in the show, her name is June. Given name.
Yeah. Then we'll call her June.
June is, I think, based on the book, she is a girl boss of the mind. She does what she needs to do to survive.
Yeah.
And she fights back against a, like, literally insane oppressive system. But in the show, she is, like, intensely girl boss. And, like, in a way that other modern day girl bosses could not dream of comparing to. This is no like Boss Babe shit name placker. This is like she would rip a man's throat out with her teeth if need be.
Damn.
Like, I think she is a girl boss the likes of Ellie Williams.
Wow. That is high praise. But I do believe it, even though I haven't seen the show. I mean, from the book, like, I don't remember much from the book, despite having written a research paper about it.
Same.
That was in high school. But, I mean, just having lived in that, like, oppressive society and being able to fight back at all, like, that earns you girl boss status alone. And absolutely. I know that in the show, they take it, like, 10 steps further.
Yeah. You should really watch the show. My mom and I watch it. There's, like, 4 seasons, and it just gets better every single season. Like, it's one of those things that you worry the book-to-TV adaptation is going to go too far away from the plot, but I think it builds really interestingly. And June, as a character, never becomes too far away from what I believe she is at her core. And I think if I take into scope many plot pieces from the show that are not included in the book, she's like super girl boss. But even in just the book, she makes it a point to like share her name with the other women in a society where they are stripped of their names and their identities. Mm-hmm. And having that connection is like so radical that I feel like that's mm-hmm. girl boss.
It does sound very girl boss. I believe you.
But then Katniss Everdeen.
Yeah, that's a hard woman to go up against. Katniss Everdeen is also up against a very oppressive government.
Yeah.
So they're alike in that way. She, on the other hand, does get put into an arena where she does have to physically fight a lot of people.
And she
survives
win.
It. She did win. Although nobody wins the games.
So true. Spoken like a true fan of the books.
Yeah, not like I, you know, watched the movie with you a few days ago or anything.
Katniss, I think what's interesting about her as a girl boss is that she never intended to be one. Mm-hmm. But June is kind of the same. I don't think she ever planned on being a radical. I think it was just that she refused to give up her personhood. But Katniss is much the same in that she refuses to let this system ruin her as a person. She refuses to play the games the way they've asked her to, even though it would be so easy for her to win and to then have a quiet life. Well, not really. We know that from later in the books, but perceivably, if she had just shot PETA, then she would have won. She would have gotten out clean, but she didn't. But she continues to make girl boss decisions. And I think at some point she's almost forced to girl boss, but in like a fake way. This is spoilers for Mockingjay. So like if you haven't read The Hunger Games, I feel like that's a problem in and of itself that you should deal with privately. But she is asked to be the face of a rebellion that I don't think is like actually taking into account what every real person in the district's needs. And Katniss actually addresses that. You know, she finds the humanity in it.
Yeah. And even though like how she was asked to be the symbol for the rebellion, the girl boss in her knew how to do it, even if she didn't want to. Like she continued to make the girl boss decisions that did lead to them winning the rebellion. And then at the end when she kills Coin, how can you get more girl boss than that?
I love June from The Handmaid's Tale. I really, really do. But I think Katniss is just so the epitome of like a Tumblr girl boss, especially.
She's more iconic, especially on Tumblr.
Yeah. As a teen girl, you are radicalized by reading The Handmaid's Tale, but you are emblazoned by reading The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
So Katniss Everdeen, round two.
Mm-hmm.
Our next pair, kind of similar characters in vibe.
Yeah.
Coraline from the movie Coraline and Blue Sargent from the Raven Cycle.
Now, I don't know if any of our listeners, I'm sure they've all seen Coraline, or mm-hmm. at least are aware of her character, but I don't know if any of y'all haven't read The Raven Cycle. That's another thing that you should go do now.
We did have a listener suggest Blue Sargent as a girl boss, so I know we have at least one The Raven Cycle fan.
Yeah. Blue Sargent is a less girl bossy girl boss. She is kind mm-hmm. of more understated.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have any, I mean, I guess she does kind of have powers. She's kind of like a amplifier for supernatural. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly how they explained it in the book.
Yeah.
But she does have some quality about her that increases like the supernatural around her, or like,
yeah, she is a little bit beyond human in terms of magical capabilities.
Mm-hmm. And she definitely has some girl boss moments throughout the series. Never really in a physical fight, mm-mm. although I'm sure she could hold her own if she needed to.
I'm going to be honest. I love Coraline. I think she's like a badass little girl, like the way that she gets away from Other Mother. But I don't even think this is a competition. I think Blue Sargent is like, she's just such a girl boss.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that she doesn't care about being a girl boss makes her even more girl boss.
Yeah. I am having a little bit of a harder time with this one, I think, because I do love Coraline. We were both Coraline for Halloween at one point.
We're Coraline girlies. We're creepy little movie girls.
And she did go up against the Other Mother.
I know.
Which is pretty crazy considering how fucking terrifying that movie was for me. As a girl that was probably younger than her when I saw the movie. And I do think that that is very girl boss of her. But Blue is definitely more iconic, especially on Tumblr, as a girl boss.
Now that you bring in that part of it, I think Coraline is more famous on Tumblr.
Maybe. I mean, I think it's hard because we definitely surround ourselves with a lot of the Raven Cycle blogs.
Yeah.
But when I'm trying to, I mean, I haven't read the series in a while, so I can't really think of any specific girl boss moments from Blue. That's why I'm kind of leaning towards Coraline.
Yeah. I mean, I would say her relationship with her family is very girl boss. Her, like, mm-hmm. all-woman upbringing.
That's so true.
Skip 15 for spoiler. The fact that her dad is a fucking tree in the backyard. That is an ain't-need-no-man household.
That's true. But also, I mean, I guess Coraline does have a dad. I don't know
Coraline
why. Like,
as a dad.
I don't know. I kind of am leaning towards Coraline, even though I love Blue and I feel really bad.
I can see it though. Coraline does actually face up against like physical challenges of like, the Other Mother does kind of try to kill her. So
yeah.
I think Coraline does girl boss her way out of the situation completely on her own, unsupported.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Except Coraline, for
the cat. Yeah, Coraline takes the cake. All right. And that is the end of the first round. So now we have got to make some harder decisions of our second round of ladies. And these pairs are not easy decisions, but they are ones we will be tasked with making. Okay, Carly, our first round two matchup of girl bosses is Raven Reyes versus Katara.
Oh.
It's an interesting pair.
Yeah. My first instinct is Katara.
So is mine.
I think maybe just because she did save the world, that does give her a lot of cred.
These are two girl bosses who are in like world saving situations. Because mm-hmm. if you watch The 100 till the end, Raven is quite literally tasked with the fate of the whole human race. But it's like, it is so interesting to compare these two because they're both really doing it for the people they love, not for self-preservation.
Mm-hmm. But I think what makes me think of Katara as the girl boss that wins this fight is because she is like the only, I mean, I don't know about the only, but one of the only waterbenders of her tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes her very much a girl boss that maybe Raven Reyes doesn't have something similar that will like go up against that.
Yeah, the only thing she had was that, like, she was the youngest of the, like, aerospace mechanics. And I think maybe one mm-hmm. of the only women, which is girl boss. But Katara just gives a greater sense of girl boss, you know?
Yeah. I think that also the fact that she's so young and she's able mm-hmm. to do so much. I mean, she is a girl. She does boss.
And Katara's doing it for the good of her family, for the good of all the, like, regular people in the nation. Because mm-hmm. I guess it's just one continent. But, like, she isn't doing it for any type of she's not doing it for any recognition or status. Whereas I think Raven does, you know, expect to be acknowledged for what she does, which is not to say that receiving praise is not girl boss. That is not to say that at all. But I think Katara's selflessness is very girl boss of her.
I would agree. I would think that Katara wins this round.
Yeah, I think pretty easily. this is an interesting one. Ellie versus Love Quinn. Now, I know what my first instinct is, but I want to hear what your thoughts are.
I'm an Ellie stan. I'm going to have to side with Ellie on this one.
I was honestly thinking that Ellie is a bigger girl boss because she's just so tough and she's been up against so much. Like, the odds are so against her. And she is surviving, one, just to survive, but two, because she has someone she cares about that, like, is worth surviving for. And Love is just a psycho. And even though I think, like, Love's determination is, like, funny girl boss, you know, it's like, she's not actually a girl boss because she's a murderer. Yeah. But I think Ellie is just, like, she harnesses the struggle of being a young woman and manages it in the way that we wish we all could.
Yeah. I also, like, especially in the second game, Ellie is way more violent than Love. Mm. Ellie has killed maybe 30 times as people as Love does. In this show, you know, there's a little bit of a different, it's not a game, there's not the combat mechanic, so it is going to be a little bit different. But I would say that everything that Love has in terms of violence that makes her a girl boss, Ellie also has, without the psychopathy and the possessiveness, maybe. That's not really a goal, or that isn't really a motivation for her at all.
Yeah, Love kills senselessly.
Yeah.
And Ellie strives forward with purpose. Girl boss.
And she does care about the world in a way that I don't think really Love does.
No, if Love she, even only if she cares were about in, herself.
Yeah, even if she were in a post-apocalyptic world, I she would think never she survive. Would act much different.
No, I don't think Love could sustain herself. I think she would have a mental breakdown.
Yeah, probably. I do love her, but I would say she loses this round.
I love her in the same way that I love one of our next girl bosses, which is Amy Dunn and Peggy Carter.
Wow.
Now, for exactly the reasons I just said that Love was not the winning girl boss, I think Amy Dunn is the winning girl boss.
Oh, wait. Sorry.
But I could be swayed.
I think that Amy is the more iconic girl boss for
right.
how much she has manipulated her situation to her benefit. And although, you know, not ethical, no. maybe, if we want to argue that, but we're both Amy Dunn apologists. Peggy is a cop.
Ooh.
And I don't know. I think that takes her down a few pegs.
Damn. Amy Dunn is a selfish, ruthless girl boss. And it's because I think it's similar to what I just said about Ellie, is that Amy faces the regular struggles of women, of mm-hmm. uncaring men, of living in the shadow of the idea of yourself, of molding yourself constantly and it never feeling like enough. And that's why she's crazy. She's not crazy just for crazy's sake, like love, but she's yeah. actually been pushed to the edge and thinks that there is no other way forward other than her own death.
Yeah.
Peggy sees a bright future, and that's wrong. Just kidding.
You don't relate to that type of girl boss.
But Peggy's a good person, but does being just a good person make you a girl boss? You have to be exceptional in your field. Yeah. And Amy Dunn is exceptional at manipulating other people.
Yeah. And I mean, every woman that we have chosen is a girl boss, like in this bracket. But we are deciding who is the biggest girl boss. And I would say that Amy Dunn wins this round.
And also, it's our podcast. And the reasons don't have to make sense.
Yeah. The cool girl speech is really what's sticking in my head right now. That Dude. Rewired my fucking brain.
The fucking scene with the flower and then he does it with the other girl. Like, I would fake my own death too.
Yeah.
Final second round pair. Katniss Everdeen, Coraline.
I think this one's pretty easy.
It's Katniss Everdeen.
It's Katniss.
It's Katniss.
Because, unfortunately, I mean, probably fortunately, Coraline was not up against the Capitol. And Coraline, I don't think Coraline would have won in an arena where they actively try to kill you.
I think Coraline was living the everyday oppressive struggle of boredom and your parents not paying attention to you. But,
and entering an alternate universe where you have to kill your mom.
But put into the event of the Hunger Games, Coraline wouldn't stand a goddamn chance against the careers.
No, she's too angsty. And Katniss is also angsty, but she knows how to focus on a goal. And she does. And she puts herself last, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Katniss is just, she's like a girl boss supreme. Like, yeah. She doesn't do it for herself. She does it for her family. And then only when she has to do it for the greater good of all, she takes on that role, even though she doesn't want it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's always for her sister.
Yeah.
And then PETA.
My heart breaks.
Anyway, Katniss moves on. Okay. Second to last round. Yeah, I don't know why I said second to last. Third round. Okay, our final two pairs are going to make it difficult.
Yeah.
We have Katara versus Ellie.
Two young girls who are faced with quite the universes.
Yeah. Independently insane storylines.
Yeah. I am still leaning towards Ellie, and I think that's just gonna be me. I think it's because Ellie fights alone.
Really. Katara does at times too, though.
Yeah. I guess I am way more familiar with Ellie than I am with Katara. I've only seen Avatar twice, once as a kid and once like several years ago. So that's probably why I'm also leaning towards Ellie. also, it is hard to make a case for Ellie when I'm thinking of part two Ellie.
Mm.
And the Ellie that we saw was, you know, in the show was very different from how I'm thinking of Ellie. Katara did, you know, she did save the world.
Yeah.
And she did fight her way through it with determination that I definitely do not have.
Katara struggled to waterbend, like, fully on her own in the beginning. She struggled to teach Aang to waterbend, and in the end, she succeeded through brute force.
Yeah.
I do feel she is an interesting contender for top girl boss.
Yeah. I'm okay with letting Katara win this round, even though it hurts me. I do think, like, if we're just going off of girl boss, I do think that, especially with my knowledge of part two, Ellie does let some other things cloud her judgment that I think kind of take her girl boss status a little bit down, just in the fact that she's not really thinking clearly. Which, that is the most I will say, because I can't talk anymore. I will spoil it by accident.
Okay, so for the clear judgment, morals maintained, Katara progresses to the final girl boss round.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have what we always felt would happen, and actually the reason that we had this episode in the first place, because Carly asked me the age-old question, what would happen if Amy Dunn and Katniss Everdeen got in a fight? And now it is our turn to decide who is the bigger girl boss.
This is a really hard one, because they're both girl bosses in different ways. Like, Amy Dunn is kind of the dark side of the girl boss, whereas Katniss is the light side, even though she has killed people.
I know. I honestly, as much as I love Amy Dunn, and I feel she is an icon for being insane, and I love to see women's wrongs supported, I honestly feel like, compared to Katniss Everdeen, it's like, who could say that a woman seeking revenge on her, like, embarrassingly awful husband could stand up to a 16-year-old girl who saved her country?
Yeah, that, when you put it like that, it's a pretty easy choice to make.
Like, I never think about the fact that Katniss is 16.
Yeah, that's, I would say Katniss wins this fight. I mean, that's kind of what I was leaning towards anyway, even though Amy Dunn has a special place in my heart and will always.
She's our kind of girl boss, but Katniss is a real girl boss.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But now, saying everything we have said over the course of this episode, we now have to decide if Katniss Everdeen is a bigger girl boss than Katara.
We have two basically children or teenagers. I don't know how old Katara is really supposed to be, but she's not supposed to be
13, 14.
Yeah. And I love that the two girl bosses that we ended up with in the final round are both adolescent girls.
From,
says a lot.
Like, from small communities that rely on each other.
They're both very similar. Yeah. Despite being in completely different fictional universes.
Yeah. Wow. But, what interesting similarities in their plot. They're, like, called upon, and they are, like, they don't want to be the chosen one. Mm-hmm. But in the end, it's up to them to make sure that everyone else survives.
It is a hard one. I think I've got to go with Katniss.
I was going to say, as much as I would love to build a case for Katara, because I really feel like such an emotional connection with that character, I think that, like, maybe it's just the recentness of my rekindling my love with the Hunger Games, but Katniss Everdeen is just such an extraordinary character in like her moral strength, the fact that she does not waver from her goal. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't ever go off the rails and hurt people that don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Now, she shoots down those Capitol airships and then people try to make her feel bad about it. But, you know, it was between one ship and a hospital full of injured men, women, and children. And she always makes the decision for the greater good, even when that decision is not the one that's good for her.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I have not re-engaged with the Hunger Games books as recently as you have. But I would agree with everything you said. Like, just the way that Katniss stands out to me as a character, despite not having read the books in a really long time, is only something that the most girl bosses of girl boss can do.
That's so true. Yeah.
Katniss wins.
Katniss wins. Katniss is Tumblr's next top girl boss.
I was gonna sing the, or like hum the theme song for America's Next Top Model, but
I stopped how myself it goes. Before.
You want to be on top.
Top.
That's as much as I remember and as much as I'm going to say on this podcast.
Well, I think the day this episode comes out, which will be Thursday, I'm going to post some polls on our Instagram story and let our listeners decide from the same original 16 in the same pairings. I'm going to let our listeners decide who they think Tumblr's biggest girl boss is. Mm-hmm. Now, not all of these women are particularly famous on Tumblr, but we did our best. And yeah, maybe if they're not famous on Tumblr, they should be.
Yeah.
So you guys are definitely going to have to let us know who you think is the biggest girl boss. And I am so curious to see if you agree with us.
I think that's the episode. Thank you so much for listening. We are so excited to have you guys here and I hope you tune in next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Our Instagram is at xtumblrgirlspod. Our TikTok is at xtumblrgirls. And we, of course, have a Tumblr. You can find us there at xpodcastgirls.tumblr.com. And we kindly ask that if you're enjoying the pod, to give us a rate or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps us connect with the rest of the world's ex-Tumblr girls. Come, join, be our bestie, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.